All right, so we're live. Welcome to Boys and Brunch. This is the show where we expose everything going down on the timeline. And speaking of the timeline, if you're watching this on YouTube, you get to skip along the timeline to the topic that you want once we break it down. So today we have some great topics. We are going to get into Anthony Mackie and his comments on Sam and Bucky. We're going to talk about the Justice for Tyler hashtag. Let me turn off my air conditioner. Because you probably can hear this in the background, and that's not good. But I just needed to be not hot for at least the first 2 minutes of this. So we've got those two. Then we're going to talk about Layla Hathaway and her tweets about Pride and Juneteenth. And then we're going to end off talking about Megan Thee Stallion and DaBaby's Twitter beef. So this is going to be a pretty interesting show, I think. And it's just the two of us, so it may be a little bit... it may be really quick, but depending on who wants to jump into the chat with us and talk with us, you know, we could have a full length show. Hello, Focus. I see you in the chat there. So I'm actually going to leave a link to join us in the chat. There's also a link in the description below if you want to join in on camera and speak your piece about a certain topic. And if you want to leave your camera off, that's completely fine as well. So let me just put that in there. So that's the, well, let me write what that is. Want us on camera to share your thoughts. There we go.
All no. Right.
Connected asking, has Brandon been kidnapped?
No.
You know, he might say yes, depending on his new job has him strapped to a chair. Well, hypothetically.
We hope hypothetically.
But yeah. So let's just. I guess we're gonna jump in. But let me ask Marcus, what are you drinking? What have you been up to? Give us a quick update on what's been going on.
So I am drinking, you know, one of those little wine cooler things that you get like in the gas station. Mm-hmm. I had some escapades yesterday, huh? And I just needed something really quickly just to kind of give me a buzz. And, you know,
Sweet Shenanigans.
Yeah. I had to think about what it was. Yeah. And yeah, so things taste a little bit different when you're kind of on a mission versus when you're just drinking them, just be drinking them. And this is actually disgusting. So yeah, I'm going to push through. It's what's the hard lemonade thing?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's really bad. It's really bad.
I said hard in a different sense. Okay. So aren't you speaking at something, or I saw you retweet something. I don't know if it's like a
child, I'm always
Comic-Con type of thing, type of situation. Aren't you doing something else?
Child, I'm always doing something. Yesterday I had an event. I was speaking at a convention or what have you, doing a panel. That went well. That was cool. Okay. And I'm working on something else now, working towards the multiverse, the thing where I'm a track director. So we're mm-hmm. working on that. So always doing something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very cool. I think for me this week, I have, I don't know what I have done. Like I went to a garden party this past weekend. So that was really cute. I have to step outside of the clubs and do some like, you know, high class type thing. So this was I met some judges, some local judges and lawyers and stuff. And cool. Everybody was like, who do you partner with, or who are you practicing with? And I was like, the Ratchademic. And no, I had to tell them I was a copywriter and all that stuff. But, you know, it was cool. It was a fun event and I enjoyed it. And I think I'm going to do some more stuff like that. It ended up being a full night because after that I went to one of the clubs and then that turned into something else. And it was just like, you know how sometimes you go up and you just get swept up in a certain thing. Yes. So, yeah, it was a fun night. It was a fun night. And I didn't get back home till like, you know, 5.
Oh, it sounds like you had some street shenanigans as well.
Yes. But it was fun. Met a Twitter mutual as well. Shout out to Jay if you're watching. And I think today I am drinking a Chardonnay. This I've got like this cute little bottle. This is like one glass in a in a bottle. So that's what I got. And I'm going to be going to like a Father's Day cookout or something with my family after this. So got that to look forward to. So, I mean, I think we're going to just jump into this first topic. So we're going to talk about Anthony Mackie and his comments on Sam and Bucky's romance rumors. So I guess just to sum up where we are right now for everybody who has not been in the MCU or, you know, with the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, I guess this kind of all started with Captain America and his sidekick, for lack of a better word, like Bucky Barnes, in the earlier movies when what's his name was Captain America. Back when the other guy was Captain America, I forget his. That was horrible because I love him to death. But
he's really
Chris Evans. Yeah, I had to remember our conversation of like four Chris's or something. but yeah, so when he was, so there was this whole thing, like, you know, there's all this like tension between them. Like if they just went there, they could really be a couple or it could really be a thing. A lot of people kind of were seeing that there. And then it kind of transferred over with the new show Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So now you've got Sam Wilson, who is the Falcon, who kind of became the new Captain America. Him and Bucky kind of had that same dynamic going. And so a lot of people were reading a lot of stuff into that and thinking that, you know, they could be a couple too, or they should be a couple or whatever. Those were the types of fan readings that they've had into these characters. So what we've had recently is an interview with Anthony Mackie in Variety. And what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to play a piece of this interview that actually speaks to this piece. It's a little bit long. It's like 3 minutes. So I want you guys to stick with me, but I feel like it's better to hear it than it is for me to just read it. So stick with me. And this is all done in the fair use doctrine. Okay. I'm using just a little snippet so that we can talk about it. So YouTube, do not cancel me, please. So yeah, let me put this up on the screen. Share the audio. Okay, so let's listen.
I guess I'm interested in the, you know, how it's so rare to see male friendship and male sort of platonic love in this in a superhero context. And Bucky's now had it twice. He had it with Steve, and now he's getting it with Sam. For you as an actor, like being able to explore that element of a relationship with another male character, I'm just curious how that evolves for you and what that's like for you to play.
Well, interesting. Great question. Because for me, in this day and age, so many things are twisted and convoluted. There's so many things that people latch onto with their own devices to make themselves relevant and rational. But it's not the first time I've experimented or played with that. I did an episode of Black Mirror where it was the exact same thing. The idea of two guys being friends and loving each other in 2021 is a problem because of the exploitation of homosexuality. So, you know, it used to be guys could be friends, we could hang out, we can do this, and it was cool. You know, you would always meet your friends at the bar. You know, but you can't do that anymore because something as pure and beautiful as homosexuality is being exploited by people who are trying to rationalize themselves. So something that's always been very important to me is showing a sensitive masculine figure. And I think there's nothing more masculine than being a superhero and flying around and beating people up. But there's nothing more sensitive than having emotional conversations and a kindred spirit friendship with someone that you care about and love. And I think, you know, Sam and Steve had a relationship where they admired, appreciated, and loved each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bucky and Sam have a relationship where they learn and figure out how to accept, appreciate, and love each other. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can call it a bromance or whatever they call it, but it's literally just two guys who have each other's backs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what he had to say there. Let me get back to my regular screen here. I'm curious, Marcus, what you think about what he had to say there and whether it hit you any differently listening to it versus seeing what was being said on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, because I had listened to it before, and listening to it makes it make even less sense. Because I even just starting from the what these people say, the premise is flawed. Because the whole idea, like, oh, we never get to see, you know, platonic relationships between men in these appeal. The entirety of this thing was built upon these dudes being buddies and working together. Sam and Rhodey, you know, if you want to extend to familial, Thor and Loki, like, that's what this thing is about, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They picked, like, it's two people. That people have been like, it seems to be deeper than friendship here. And now there's no platonic male friendship. But y'all lying, first of all. And for Anthony Mackie in particular, I'm just like, so what are you saying? Like, I don't understand. I legitimately do not understand what he's trying to say.
Like, that was the thing. It was just like, he was saying a lot there. And it's just, it's weird because it's like, you know, I don't think that he was necessarily trying to come from a bad place, but what he was saying, I feel, was definitely flawed. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if he's saying that there is no room for friendship. There's no room for male friendship or male sensitivity with each other without people turning it into something gay. That's kind of the message that I got. And I just, you know, like you said, that's just not true. And then he also threw in Black Mirror in there and said it was the same exact thing. And I'm like,
did you watch your episode?
I mean, I know all you had to do was sit in a chair, but what everybody else saw. I mean, yeah, he was sitting in the chair with the virtual reality thing, so he didn't have to do too much. But that was a lot more than friendship.
Listen.
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out where that comparison is drawn, you know. I don't see the comparison between those two. And mm-hmm. I do think that what the fandom is seeing is a lot of what the people behind the scenes or the people putting the stuff together are putting out there. They're putting out these little, you know, winks and nudges and stuff. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, there's that one scene, I think in like the first episode or something, where they're like rolling down a hill, and then they end up on top, like one's on top of the other. So it's like, you guys are obviously, I mean, and then there's another scene where they're at the therapist's office, and they're sitting in front of each other, like super close, and
like legs touching.
It was just like, okay, so y'all obviously want us to read into this a little bit. Like, there's really a homoerotic thing, but you know, but now all of a sudden it's people exploiting. Like, I don't understand exactly what he was trying to get with that. If he's saying that it were outside forces that are kind of trying to exploit the beautifulness of homosexuality.
I feel like, I don't, unless he's talking, because now I'm thinking about it, now to my outside forces, unless he's talking about like the people like Marvel, Disney, the people over the show that are trying to do this jump into, you know, that are trying to do this kind of baiting thing with them rolling around on the ground and stuff like that, unless he's talking about them. And if he is, I know we still upset with Monique now, but her words still ring true. Either, you know, like, lame names, keep it on the playground. Because if you're not going to say what it is, you got to go, because now you just out here looking foolish because you're just talking outside your neck.
Right. Connected is saying, I get what he is saying. He's clocking masculine toxicity. However, that Black Mirror episode was fire.
It was.
It was. It was pretty cool. But is that what it is? Is he clocking toxic masculinity? Do you think that that's kind of what he was going for, Marcus?
If he was, then he needs to do some more reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, I felt like he was trying to walk a fine line between offending the LGBTQ community and speaking his piece. But I feel like you can speak your piece and be like, no, I don't think that's what's going on, mm-hmm. and leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't think that's what's going on. Obviously, there's some homoerotic tension that is thrown in there, you know, that we have acted out.
And it really makes no sense as to why, like, you're ignoring that. Because for me, you know, having, you know, whenever I see some people rolling around and one of them ends up on top of each other, I immediately think of Lion King. And we know what that led to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you can't sit here and say that that's not what is, that's not the type of feeling that you're invoking. That's not, you know, what it's leading to. And I also agree with you that he's really trying to walk that line. Because that whole, you know, something is beautiful, there's homosexuality. It's like, girl,
mm-hmm.
girl, you're trying too hard. This is just like the, this is just like these politicians wearing kente cloth and stuff, trying to prove that they're down with the cause. Girl, you're trying too hard. Stop.
that's hysterical. because what's her name? Nancy Pelosi with the kente cloth. Who else had the kente cloth on? No, was it somebody else?
It was a couple of people. It was her and some other folk.
Okay.
Sitting up there, nice. Getting information.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, but yeah, that's off topic. So one other thing I want to ask is it a bad thing that they are doing that kind of undercover, you know, these might be, they could be gay, but we're not really telling you, that type of thing on screen, like those little moments? Do you think that that's a bad thing, or how do you feel? You think so? Yeah.
Because it's baiting. It's legit queer baiting. Like, there's no other word for it, because you put these things in your trailers, you put these images and stuff out, and you get the gays up in a frenzy because, oh, okay, let me see what they're doing here. And then you never deliver. Mm-hmm. Like, you do this, and then you just randomly have Bucky decide to flirt with Sam's sister. Okay.
Okay. Right. You know, I feel like there was a place for that years ago when you wanted to, like, toy with it. But, you know, where we are now, I feel like if it's going to be a thing, let it be a thing. Because we're out and proud. And we're not going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of where we are in the world now. And I feel like, you know, while it's not necessarily extremely offensive, it's antiquated. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, if Sam and Bucky are going to be a thing, let them be a thing on screen all the way. Otherwise, don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Don't try to act like, you know, we have some LGBTQ representation in the MCU, which we really don't at this point. I mean, it's all been very undercover, or it's been like, oh, we have a gay side character in Endgame for like 1 second that they were so excited about. It was like, what?
Like, name that, or leave it on the playground.
Exactly. So, so yeah, we've got that. Now, before we move into our next topic, I do want to ask you guys if you would join the Patreon. Just starts at $4 a month. That's like what? That's like a happy meal. So you can pay for a happy meal. So let's join the Patreon. Get in on the Discord chat. Get in on our exclusive after show. I mean, last week our after show was fire because Lester was about him and Todrick Hall. you guys want to watch that, even if you just want to watch that episode and then like yank your credit card back, I'm cool. But you know,
the episode is worth the price. I can tell you that.
Absolutely. Okay. I was like, wait, why is my camera not focused? Okay. But yeah, that's that. And now we're going to talk about Justice for Tyler. We're going to take a little bit of a turn. It's going to get a little bit deep, but I think it's important to talk about it. I think it's one of the things that everybody has been talking about online. And so that's why, you know, I decided that this was something that we should bring up. I'm going to play this video. I do want to give you guys a content warning that it's not necessarily graphic, but it does deal with blatant homophobia and I guess physical abuse. So let's watch it. It's not all that crazy, but I wanted to let y'all know just ahead of time. Let me pull up this. Got the right one. Yeah. Okay. So let's just see what this is. Okay. So the tweet says, I couldn't sleep after some searching, here's what I found. Black queer kids shouldn't be subjected to public humiliation due to homophobia, especially when it leads to violence. Too many of us have suffered and in silence and waited on turning 18 to save us. So let's watch this quick clip. Pull this up.
I'm gonna shut him. You getting your ass beat. This what to him. We do shit, but it don't help right here.
You said you're what? Say it again. Say it one more time.
And he like that shit.
And you like it. And
you're
doing the most.
You still doing gay shit. You think this on the side of your head for no reason? Is that what you think? It's on the side of your head for no reason? So why you just said that gay ass shit, bro? Why would you just say that? Why would you just say that? You ain't got shit to say?
Now we're going.
So yeah, that was the first video there. And then there was another one. So let me put this back up on the screen. Maybe I should just share the window so that way I don't have to. Oh no, I can't do that and share the audio. Sorry guys, trying to get this together. All right, here's the second video where the kid in the first video. So just to explain what had happened in the first video, if you were listening on the podcast, this little kid is with, I guess that's his older brother, Marcus.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah, that's the story. Yeah. And he had like his head was like, they had the word gay kind of cut into his hair. Into his hair, mm-hmm. on the left side, and you know, his brother just kind of smacked him on the side of the head and was talking all that stuff. So now we've got this other video where he is trying to say, you know, basically it wasn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. Like my brother and them, they didn't abuse me. They was just showing me like I shouldn't. Yeah, I'm good. They was just showing me like you need to stop doing that.
Okay. So I don't know if you guys could hear that in the beginning, but somebody in the background's like, say it, you know, like mm-hmm. say it. So, and this tweet is saying, hi, there is a gay child being abused in immediate danger and is very obviously being coerced into going on live and saying it didn't happen. So yeah, that was the second part of that. Now I think the update to that whole story is that as of 12 a.m. on the 19th, he was taken out of his parents' care, which is something that I think we all wanted to see happen. Like he should not be in that environment. I don't know. I you know, maybe I misspoke on that, but what do you think, Marcus? How are you feeling about this whole situation, I guess?
That completely and totally shifted my day when I saw that. Like that kind of really just threw off my whole energy. And I was definitely one of the people like sending messages and things, because it just messed me up. It completely totally messed me up and throughout my whole day from seeing that, because it's like, it doesn't make sense for somebody to have to deal with that, for somebody to have to go through that. And it also kind of shows, you know, how social media, how powerful it is, because then people went and pulled up that house, they put up the address, they went and found who was staying there, they tried to name names and tried to do what they had to do to try to help that child, because he needed it. Like that's just ain't right. That isn't right.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. I think the way that I had come into it was I had seen that last update where they said that he had been kind of taken out of the parents' care. But I didn't know all the backstory to it until Marcus, you shared it with me. And I thought, yeah, I was like, oh, wow, this is really bad. This is really bad. So anyway, I mean, like there is a GoFundMe in the description. I put the link to that below. And I believe what they're doing is they have some like officials holding the money for him, and they would like release it to him as needed for like clothes and food and stuff, and then they would send it over to his legal guardian once they place him with somebody.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something that still kind of, I don't know, it's a weird sort of feeling I have, because like, yes, most definitely that boy needs to be taken out of that situation, like absolutely no arguments there. But I'm also kind of scared about that boy being placed in the system. Mm-hmm. So it's like, man, like it's almost like I wish there was something else that could be done, like that, you know, there was somewhere else like to put him, because I don't have personal experience, you know, with foster care, adoption, that sort of thing. But, you know, I've had friends and students who have. And, you know, it can also get pretty rough. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really hoping that, you know, whatever happens, like whatever happens next with this child, that he ends up somewhere where people are actually truly going to care for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was absolutely, absolutely heartbreaking. Focus is saying, my hope is that whenever he ends up in foster care, that is a good place, because Georgia also has a not so good foster system also. Albert Ivory Jr. is saying, I hope someone eventually shows up to affirm and care for him, because the foster care system can be just as harmful. Sounds like you guys are kind of on the same page, and I completely agree. But real quick, Connected is asking, so guys, if I'm a little bit blurry, I just want to apologize. I have not been able to get my Ethernet cable working, so I'm on Wi-Fi right now, so it's not as consistent as usual. So at some point we will get back up to full clarity, because, you know, Wi-Fi likes to pop in and out. But thank you so much for just dealing with me and perhaps a blurry view of everything. I think we might have popped up now that my Wi-Fi looks to have gotten a little bit stronger just in saying that. So hopefully we're good now.
You talked about it. They said, oh, let me show him something.
Right. I think Verizon heard my voice. All right, so we've got another topic that we're going to talk about. We've got to talk about Layla Hathaway and these tweets that she had that are really just confusing. So let me share my screen and put these. Let's put these things up here. So from top, so we're gonna go from top to bottom, unlike how Twitter usually does it, because I did my own thing and just pasted it all in one thing.
Come on.
She started out saying, this is the prettiest Juneteenth ever. And that was not necessarily a compliment.
Already she messing up. Already.
So then she goes and says, Lord, Black Music Month too. They will move February into June. One big rainbow Confederate flag tree that plays Negro spirituals. Okay. Then I think earlier today, somebody had asked, so I'd love for you to expound upon this. just a bit. This is your platform for sure, so you don't owe anyone anything but your opinion. Some of us just like to understand why you would say such a thing. And then she responds, today I was at the mall and overwhelmed by the commercialization of Pride and Juneteenth. Nordstrom's had rainbow Juneteenth pins. Like many things, America co-ops then sells that thing back to the very people it came from. Thank you for asking. So that was her response to the people that were questioning what she had to say. So does that make sense to you, Marcus?
That actually makes less than zero sense. Like, I, what? First of all. Now, capitalism moves quickly, and the people want to do what they need to do in order, you know, to get stuff onto the shelves so that people can buy it. But God, they just made Juneteenth a national holiday, a federal holiday, like Wednesday. I don't think the people manufactured rainbow Juneteenth pins in 2 days. What would you see? I really want her to take a picture of this product that she's talking about, because I don't think that exists.
And that's the thing. Like, I have the product here. So let me share that. Let me put that up on the screen. Because it really doesn't make sense. That's the only thing that exactly. That's the only thing you see when you look for like a Pride pin in Nordstrom's.
It's so that's just a pin. That's the rainbow flag.
Yes, the rainbow flag. It has nothing to do with Juneteenth. And somebody had said, you know, somebody tweeted and replied that you know, maybe she saw the black and brown stripe version and just thought it was a thing, you know.
But so now you're loud and wrong.
Right. So I, you know, my thing was, my initial reaction to everything that she had said was something along the lines, like her saying that this is gonna, you know, I almost think like I lost one of these tweets, because I almost was positive.
You did.
That she had hashtag. Yeah, what was it?
Hold on, I'm about to go see. There was one more.
Because this is all that was up there. So I think she must have deleted it or something. But I did get the screenshot.
Said, they will combine Pride and Juneteenth into Pruneteenth next year. Hashtag rainbow Confederate flag. Which also, where does the Confederate flag come up into this? Where did it come from?
Right. She just threw the Confederate flag in there like a couple of times. And it's just like, well, where exactly are we getting this? And so that's what made me think that there was this impression that pride or homosexuality was more of a white thing. And, you know, and that, you know, oh, they're just whitewashing Juneteenth with this pride thing, not taking into account that there are black and queer individuals that actually exist. Case in point, the show, Boys and Brunch. Like, you know, so it's just, it really didn't sit right with me at all. And I don't know, that's what I think she was saying. It sounds like she almost did what Anthony Mackie did and wanted to say something, but she didn't really want the gays on her case, because they know that we can go in on somebody real quick if we feel like it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, words, like, please use your words and use your words carefully, because words mean things. And these words you have strung together, really, you could have just said nothing. Right. And for me, like, I saw some people in the comments that will say nothing, absolutely nothing.
Mama should say, what's wrong with a Pride Juneteenth? Like, nothing.
There were some people in the comments that were saying, like, that she has done stuff like that beforehand. Like, she has shown that her being homophobic or something beforehand, which may be true. I don't really know that lady for real. All I know is she Donny Hathaway daughter. She the person that sang them chords just by herself. Like, that's legit all I know about her. But I remember watching her on Terrell's show, which also was interesting because he gay as hell. I remember seeing her on Terrell's show, and she spent the majority of the show crying that people were more interested in the Popeye's chicken sandwich than buying music like hers. And I mean, like legit, like whining. She brought that up like 3-4 times over the course of the show. And the show was only 30 minutes long.
Goodness.
So I was, so for me, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I'm like, girl, why are you so mad?
Like the thing is, okay, so this is another thing, because I feel like musicians get really upset about the state of the music industry, but it's, I don't know if you can get to the point where you're crying about it. You know what I'm saying? Or like I understand the frustration, but the game is the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's just because I just remember when Tank was ready to throw in the towel, and he was like, or throw in the tile as, what's his name? But, you know, it's just like, you know, the next year he had like one of the highest songs on the Billboard chart. So it's like, but y'all are known stars, and y'all are getting paid for your craft well. So, you know, why are we complaining so much about people wanting to get a chicken sandwich?
But you know what's funny? I wonder if when Tank had that sort of like comeback, I wonder if that was from him appealing to the gays. Because, you know, he did like a pride circuit for a little while. Like he was performing the Hollywood Prides and stuff.
That is true. See? Look, I mean, you get us on your side, we going to rock with you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know.
And when you don't.
Exactly. So that's kind of where I was. Let me look at some of these comments. I put a couple of these up on the screen, but let me see what we've got here. Connected saying, did y'all see the post about a party in Fire Island this past Friday? They had a discount code labeled Juneteenth, but the white people claimed to be about diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Fire Island?
Now that's like a white gay destination for the most part, correct? Okay.
Because I'm like, okay. That sound like Get Out. That sound like a gay Get Out. Don't do that, y'all. Don't do that.
I've never been to Fire Island. I want to go, but
for a reason. You're gonna get got. You're gonna be in the.
I'll be there in that straw hat talking about Get Out.
Oh my gosh.
Ty McKinney said Layla went on a tipsy Twitter rant and showed her ass.
That's what it felt like, because it was so random. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and she just out here talking about rainbow Confederate flags. It was like, girl, where did this come from? What are you talking about? And what makes it so weird is that I feel like there's a legitimate thing to say up in there, because, you know, people, you know, we talk about it every year, you know, rainbow capitalism, blah, 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 blah. And if that's what you're trying to say, then okay, I get it. I understand. Like, you know, because that is a thing. But you, if that's what you're trying to say, you should be talking about, the capitalism aspect. Like, they ain't got nothing to do with us. They're taking advantage of us too. What do you mean? Like, make it make sense, sis. Make it make sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm laughing at these comments. Ty is like, you gonna get got, Jared. Don't do it. Talking about Fire Island.
You're gonna be in the same place.
Mama Shay said, leave the Pank D alone.
You know what I always say? You can leave them Uncle Kane alone.
Oh my gosh. Y'all are hilarious. Connected is also saying, I think Tank is performative to cultivate a gay following for money. What do you think about that?
Probably. I mean, a lot of people do, because they realize there's money in it. I mean, there's a whole industry of it, from these, you know, Instagram and OnlyFans folk that's straight, but, you know, they'll perform for the gays saying they're going to get them their money. So it's possible. I don't really get okay. I may be pulling strings because I kind of like Tank. So, you know, there's that. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like, I don't
like
get
it too, boo.
But for me, it's like, it's not as much of a like performative with him as it is with, like I say, Grandy Glaze, or what's the man name? Flashman Wade. It's not as performative with Tank as I feel like it is with him. Like, he's legitimately just, he's singing, you know, he's singing with shirtless, whatever have you, which really isn't too much different from what he would probably be doing if he was at any other venue. So it doesn't feel as performative to me, but I can definitely see, you know, that as being a thing. I can see that as being like his mindset.
I mean, I could see some people thinking that, but I'm with you, Marcus. I don't feel that with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I just don't see, I feel like he's just very comfortable with his sexuality, to be quite mm-hmm. honest. And, you know, I don't need to bring up his whole conversation about what he likes to have done.
Yes, you do. What do you say?
In the back. Something about he likes to get his ass ate.
Oh.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I heard that. I mean, you know, and he was like, he was kind of open about it, you know, and, you know, and that just shows me that he's just very comfortable with his sexuality because who, like, what, you know, straight dude is going to say that, you know, out in public like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, Tank, he obviously just doesn't care. He knows what he knows who he is. He knows what he's doing. We've got Ty McKinney that's joining us. Let me bring him into the chat.
Hey. Oh!
Hey,
Ty, what's good going
morning.
On?
Good morning. Good morning. I had to get some coffee,
yeah,
you know.
I heard that. I mean, you know, and he was like, he was kind of.
Is your is your stream on? Can you turn it down?
And that just shows me that he's just very comfortable with it.
Hold on, let me mute him real quick. Give me a thumbs up when you've turned us down, because we're getting feedback. Okay. Okay.
Are we good?
We're good. Yeah. We're good.
Okay.
So, what do you have to say,
Ty? I was coming on here to say, because the whole music industry comment, because you know, music industry person.
yes. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is that yes, there are some artists who do, you know that the gays have money, and mm-hmm. are, you know, willing to pay if, you know, you support us and, you know, you cater to us. So there are some artists who do play the game, and, you know, they're smart. But the whole, like, complaining about the industry, like, yes, no one's really making money because no one's selling, like, platinum records, like, actually buying albums and stuff like that. So her complaining about that, like, the whole chicken sandwich thing, I saw that one, too, on the show. And I was like, girl, okay, but you got long money, your daddy. You got money from your dad.
Listen.
You good. Like, what? I know you want people to buy your record. I want people to buy my records, but people ain't buying records. So what you gonna do? You gonna do what you gotta do, make your art, and, you know, downsize your living.
Right.
And, you know, do what you do. But, yeah. I love me some Tank, though. Tank. I love me some Tank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let it, man.
I saw him first.
You can have him. I just said I love that man. Look, there's plenty of other fish in the sea.
Well, look, I'm not gonna be that generous. I'm gonna say we can share.
What's the splitting the bill conversation? we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. You know, Ty, you're always welcome to stick with us. We're actually going to move into our next conversation. But if you want to join us for Splitting the Bill, we will have you back. And, you know, we'll talk. I think everybody who's on the Discord can actually join us if you want. I'll just put that in the chat when we get there. But thank you so much for joining us, giving us your opinion. You may want to jump back in with this next conversation because we're talking about Meg Thee Stallion and DaBaby.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Hold on. All right. Because I just saw those tweets about that. So
okay,
I'll stay. Right. I'll stay for that.
Stay for that one? Okay. Sounds good. Okay. So we've got Meg Thee Stallion and DaBaby. They've got this little Twitter beef going. So let me put up the tweet that started the whole thing. Hold on, let me get the right, because I'm have the whole sheen screen shared, and all I need is just the window. Okay, so DaBaby tweeted this.
That's not DaBaby.
He didn't tweet it. He retweeted it.
Yeah.
This guy at Syme Automatic says, "I guess DaBaby and Tory Lanez cool now because they both shot somebody and don't have to do no jail time. bunch of laughing emojis. So that's what DaBaby retweeted. And then it got us all into this whole back and forth between him and Meg Thee Stallion. So Meg Thee Stallion tweeted, support me in private and publicly do something different. These industry men are very strange. This situation ain't no damn beef. And I really wish people would stop downplaying it like it's some internet shit for likes and retweets. And then DaBaby said, you gonna let these folks get the best of you, thug. I ain't got no bad energy for you. You know, like I know, I ain't no industry nigga. Let them fool you into thinking that you tripping. I'm sorry. You know I don't talk like this. It's just a word.
But it's very interesting to hear you talk like this. I'm like, okay, dude.
Stand on what you stand on without feeling like I'm against you. Stay focused, my G. And then she responds, my stance hasn't changed at all. Yours has. We already spoke about this in private, and you specifically said that ain't even no good business move. Why would I promote that shit? But now this ain't your beef. That ain't real. But you stay on your business, my G. And then the last part of this argument in this thread was, you ain't tweeting nothing. I ain't tell that nigga directly. I told him the same shit. Whoever cleared it, cleared it. So what? Shit, still ain't enough of my business for MFs to be feeling some type of way about my pretty chocolate ass. Getting into that, don't feed my people. So that's what has been said between the two of them. I'm curious what you guys think about this situation. I want to start with Ty, since you're here. Like, let's jump into it. What did you think about this little exchange here?
It was, so I'll say this, that it was not a surprise. It was not a surprise that he was going to act like that, or he was going to side with, you know, Tory Lanez or whatever about it. It's just because with his history and what, you know, what he's done as far as like his, you know, his anger issues and, you know, his situations with women and all that. Yeah. It's not a surprise. But it was kind of just like, wow, so you really are that fucked up? Like, you really, like, that's your homie. Like, you wouldn't be, like, you had, like, this one song, but, like, as far as, like, getting you to a certain level, she's the reason. Like, y'all did great records together. And for you to kind of, like, you know, basically just forget about that, or just, you know, not choose her, especially when it's, like, she's the, you know, the victim, like, the one who's been affected. This is really fucked up. And I'm proud of Meg for defending herself and calling that out publicly, because, you know, there's, you know, we all like to, like, okay, look, the classy folks like to keep the shit in private. Mm-hmm. We ain't gonna talk about it. We ain't gonna put you on blast in public. But when you show your ass in public, okay, you, all bets are off. Now I got to, you know, discipline you in public, because you gonna try to have me out here looking like I'm a fool, and that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that she did finally, you know, say something, because people were talking about the whole DaBaby thing for a while, like, well, Meg, what you gonna say something about DaBaby? Because DaBaby kind of, like, you know, siding with Tory. You know, y'all, we know y'all cool. So what's going on?
He siding with Tory though? Because I don't remember that.
I mean, there was like an affiliation. I think they had like a song, or there was some talks of them like working together musically or something like that. And yeah, everybody's like, why would you work with him when you know like what happened between her and Meg, Meg and stuff like that? So I think that was the, you know, the talk of the Twitterverse, but I don't think they actually have a song.
So do you think that DaBaby really meant this to be the way to take it the way that she took it? Because the original tweet, and I'll put this up here again, you know, it's kind of like in a joking way. I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying, you know, but yeah, I'm just, you know, maybe in his mind, it was more of like, ha ha, this is funny, you know, you just getting away with shooting people.
But you know what, I can see that, but you can't give grace to this type of situation. Like, come on, like, this is violence. Like, it's actually violence. It's not like, oh, you know, like some kids on the playground type shit. Like, she got her foot shot. Like, no, it's just like, no, we can't even be like, oh, like, I didn't expect you to take it somewhere. Like, nah, dude, we got a police report, we got a hospital report, like an impending deportation. Mm-hmm. Like, this ain't like no playground shit. So it's, and someone I think connected said, we got to stop giving these rappers like all this sort of like pedestal praises because they ain't got no good home training. That is a fact. That is a fact. And it was just like the fact that he retweeted it, it was kind of like, dude, do you have no coof, no class? Like, do you not know what space you work in? Like, do you not know? Like, are you not aware? Like, I know you're still trying to like be a cool, humble dude or whatever, or like, you know, I'm a dude from North Carolina and all that stuff. Like, I get that, but you have a platform now. You have a hit song with Dua Lipa. You're on the pop charts, my dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're in a different space.
Marcus, I want to get you in on this. I want to hear what you've got to say. I mean, do you kind of agree mostly with what Ty is saying? Do you have any other opinions?
Yes. I think pretty much anybody who has heard this show or heard me talk before already knows that I am immediately and automatically siding with Megan. But I feel like even outside of my own bias, like it just, you're joking about shooting people and that's just not smart. Like that's just not smart for you to be joking and retweeting stuff talking about how, you know, oh, well, these people got away with shooting. Like, even if this wasn't somebody who you're supposed to be cool with, like, you shouldn't joke about that because that statute of limitations are a thing and those things probably aren't up. She probably can still go to jail. So shut up.
Right.
So if nothing else, it's just foolish. It's just like, it's silly to say that. And for me, like, I think it also kind of just speaks to how a lot of these dudes, a lot of these rappers, like, they really just be using a lot of these women for clout. Because, like Ty said, we used to joke that DaBaby and Megan were a work couple, you know, work husband, work wife, because they had so many songs together. And they, you know, really kind of, really, I would honestly say, like, uplifted each other in a way, because her song, like, Meg's song for DaBaby gave her, you know, a little bit more of that street cred. Whereas, you know, it's Meg Rise and DaBaby makes song with her that puts him on pop charts and gets him in other people's visions, probably to get a Dua Lipa, like, collaboration type deal. So it's just not smart all around. And I also feel like too many of these celebrities air too much stuff out online. Like, I know y'all got phones. I know y'all got each other's phone numbers. Call that person. We don't even know all that. We don't care.
That was my thing.
But people do care. And that's what
they do.
So people eat this shit up. And that's exactly why people are messy on social media. Celebrity or not, that's why people do what they do.
I don't do that on social media, or I have not yet. Let me just say that. I just, you know, that to me is like, you know, the worst thing possible to have to argue with somebody that, you know, that you know. I mean, let alone somebody you don't know, but like to argue with somebody you know on social media and to let the world get in on your conversation. So if I were Meg, I probably would not have handled it quite that way. I would have picked up the phone and said, hey, can you like unretweet that and stop being a jerk or whatever, you know, or say whatever she had to say. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, but that does like follow in line with sort of how she's handled the situation before. Because even with the Tory thing, like she was like, when he started, you know, popping off and basically saying that she was a liar, she was like, see, I tried to handle this off the books, you know, right, outside of the media eye, but now since you want to come run your mouth, let's go.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Well, see, that was different because I feel like that's a little bit different though, because I feel like when he's running his mouth online and talking about her integrity and her name, then she has to defend herself and say, hey, this is not, you know, I'm actually telling the truth, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that in that case, yeah, you kind of have to fight it where it's happening. Mm-hmm. But this was a retweet that was a retweet of a joke, a very bad joke. I feel like something like this, I don't know, personally, I'd have just been like, unfollow and block, and I'll be pissed with you, and let everybody else read into that what they want, because you know everybody's
because they are
everybody be looking at the following. Yeah, they are. Following so messy. I'm looking at people's following.
No, it is so messy. It's so crazy when I hear people talking about, oh, you know, so and so unfollowed. So it's like, oh my gosh, really? Y'all
interested like, that much?
Like, how do you even know that?
Because they're like, they have nothing to do but just literally just go into people's social media profiles like, oh, they follow me, that person. Like, it's just like, do you have a life?
Like bro, like, but it's, to me, it's wild because, like, these people be following, like, hundreds of thousands and millions of people be following them. Like, I got, you know, maybe 5,000 followers across all platforms. And I don't know half the people I'm following. I can't keep up with that. And I'm just like, bro, how do you have that much time, that much energy to invest in these people's lives? But that's another story.
That is another story. Mm-hmm. But you know what's funny, Jared, as you said, like, you know, you are like the unfollow, like, black mm-hmm. person. I think that's the Aquarius in you. And Meg Thee Stallion is an Aquarius. So maybe you should give her some advice. Like, go back to your roots, baby. You know what to do.
Exactly. You don't even have to fight this fight. All you have to do is block and unfollow and let him come to you.
And let him
and then you can and then you can tell him off.
You know, oh, you saying? Want another feature? You want another feature? Oh, remember this thing you retweeted? Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry.
Exactly. Like, you know, ain't no, we don't even gotta have a we don't even have to have an argument. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but that's where I am. I mean, you know, how she handled it was fine. It's just not how I would have handled it, because then you got all of America all up in your business. sharing their opinions, and now, you know, we have to talk about it on shows like Boys and Brunch, whereas I would have never, if Meg Thee Stallion hadn't brought any life to that, I would never have heard of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I guess it's you know, it's one of those pick your battles types of things, or figure out how to fight the battles that you pick as well, at least for me. So yeah, that's all I gotta say. But we have, I think that's it for us today. We do have some interesting things to talk about in splitting the bill. There is this one question about hookup culture in the gay community.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so we're gonna play that video, and then we've got, I guess, you know, we'll see what we have time for afterwards, because the other things are kind of, They're good topics, so you want to tune in, but nothing you haven't heard before. But we're gonna make it fun, of course. So anyway, I want to thank Marcus for joining me. I want to thank you, Ty, for joining us. We tried to get other people in the chat to join us, but I guess they weren't feeling that link. It's okay. It's okay. We get plenty of comments up on the screen, so that's all right. But thank you guys for joining me. Please join us on Splitting the Bill afterwards. Join us on Patreon. And the link for that is below in the description. You can go to boysandbrunch.com or patreon.com/JaredDKing. Follow us all on social media at Jared D. King, at Loose is a Deuce for Marcus. Ty McKinney is at Ty McKinney. I do remember that because he's been. I mean, well, it's his name, first of all. Second of all, he's been and we will see you soon. So let's raise a glass, everyone. So be careful what you say, because the boys will brunch. Take care.